नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय कंटिन्यूइंग आवर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 87 द प्रेयर्स ऑफ द पर्सोनिफाइड वेदास टेक्स्ट नंबर 16 इति तव सुरयस्ते अधिपते किल लोकमाला इति तव सुरयस्ते अधिपते किल लोकमाला शपण कथामृताब्धिमवघाय तपांसि जहु शपण कथामृताब्धिमवघाय तपांसि जहु किमुत पुनः स्वधाम विदुताशय कालगुणा किमुत पुनः स्वधाम विदुताशय कालगुणा परम भजन्ति ये पदम अजस्र सुखानुभवम् परम भजन्ति ये पदम अजस्र सुखानुभवम् इति तव सुरयस्त्रि अधिपते किल लोकमाला शपण कथामृताब्धिमवघाय तपांसि जहु किमुत पुनः पुनः स्वधाम विदुताशय कालगुणा परम भजन्ति ये पदम अजस्र सुखानुभवम् माताजी इति दस द तव योर सूरयः वाइस सेंट्स थ्री ऑफ द थ्री प्लैनेटरी सिस्टम्स ऑफ द यूनिवर्स और द थ्री मोड्स ऑफ नेचर अधिपते ओ मास्टर अखिला ऑफ ऑल लोक द वर्ल्ड्स मल द कंटैमिनेशन क्षपण विच इराडिकेट्स कथा ऑफ डिस्कशंस अमृत नेक्टर अब्धिम इनटू द ओशन सॉरी अवगाय बाय डाइविंग डीपली तपांसी देयर ट्रबल्स जहु हैव गिवन अप किम उत व्हाट टू स्पीक पुनः मोर एवर स्व देयर ओन धाम बाय द पावर विधुत डिस्पेल्ड आशय ऑफ देयर माइंड्स काल एंड ऑफ टाइम गुणाः द अनडिजायरेबल क्वालिटीज परम ओ सुप्रीम वन भजंती वर्शिप ये हु पदम योर ट्रू नेचर अजस्त्र अनइंटरप्टेड सुख ऑफ हैप्पीनेस अनुभवम इन विच देयर इज एक्सपीरियंस ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन Therefore, O Master of the Three Worlds, the wise get rid of all misery by diving deep into the nectarian ocean of topics about you, which washes away all the contamination of the universe. Then what to speak of those who, having by spiritual strength, rid their minds of bad habits, and freed themselves from time, are able to worship your true nature, O Supreme One, finding within it uninterrupted bliss. Purport. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, in the previous verse, those Shrutis whose presentation of the Supreme Truth may seem impersonal clarified their true purpose. Now in the present verse, those who focus exclusively on the divine personality of Godhead, who speak of his transcendental pastimes, take their turn in praising him. Because all the Vedas declare the supremacy of supreme personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes, discriminating persons should take to his worship. By diving into the ocean of his glories, intelligent devotees help dispel the distress of all souls and loosen their own burning attachment to materialistic life. This advancing devotees gradually give up all materialistic attachment and lose any interest they once had in the troublesome austerities of karma, jnana and yoga. Beyond these devotees are the suris, connoisseurs of spiritual truth, who honor the nectarian ocean of Supreme Lord's glories by immersing themselves fully within it. These mature devotees of Supreme Lord achieve unimaginable perfection. The Lord, reciprocating their sincere endeavors, empowers them to realize Him in His personal form. Remembering with rapture the Lord's intimate pastimes and entourage, they are automatically freed from the last subtle traces of mental contamination and from sensitivity to the unavoidable pains of disease and old age. Referring to the purifying power of devotional service, the Shrutis say, Tad yatha puskara palasha apuno shishyante evam evam vidhi papam karmana shlishyate. Just as water does not adhere to a lotus leaf, so sinful activities do not adhere to one who knows the truth in this way. The Shatpatha Brahmana, Taitriya Brahmana, Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad and Bodhayan Dharma Shastra all concur that na karmana lipyate papakena. One thus avoids being tainted by sinful activity. The Rig Veda 1.154.1 refers to Supreme Lord's pastimes as follows. Vishnur nukam viryani pravacham ya parthavani vimame rajamsi. Only he may fully enunciate the heroic deeds of Lord Vishnu, who can count all the particles of dust in the world. Many Shruti mantras glorify devotional service to the Lord, such as Eko vasi sarga goye nubhajanti dhiras tesham sukham shashvatam netaresham. He is the one omnipresent Lord and controller. Only those wise souls who worship Him obtain eternal happiness, not anyone else. In this connection, Srila Sridhar Swami prays, Sakala Veda Ganerita Sargunas Tvamiti Sarva Manishi Jana Rataha Tvai Subhadra Guna Shravana Adivis Tavapada Smaranena Gataklamaha. Because all the Vedas describe your transcendental qualities, all thoughtful persons are attracted to hearing and chanting about your all auspicious qualities. Thus, by remembering your lotus feet, they are freed from material distress. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vashyatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Taru Vyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So this beautiful chapter, the prayers of the personified Vedas. So in our presentation today, we will speak something on the verse. The verse speaks about glories of hearing. Then we'll also speak something on the section which the personified Vedas are praying the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So we'll see about who are these Vedas personified from that section. And the chapter itself, which speaks about Siddhanta. So we'll speak about the importance of understanding Siddhanta. So when I was reading this verse and I was going through this chapter, I was wondering who these personified Vedas are. Do they have any name? What kind of personality they are? So I went through some search on Prabhupada's Veda base, and I found that these Vedas personified are not just a group of people, but they are a category. And within the category, there are different types. Like for example, one time one devotee wrote to Srila Prabhupada and asked him, Srila Prabhupada, this Ishopanishad book which you have given us, who is the person who is speaking these Ishopanishad verses? So Prabhupada said, they are Vedas personified. So this devotee may not have understood, so he wrote back. So Prabhupada said, what is Vedas personified? Simple. Prabhupada says that the speaker is Vedas personified. In the Vedic age, Prabhupada said, a sage would speak the knowledge of Vedas to his disciple. Because as we all know that Vedas came in a written form only in the beginning of Kali Yuga, by the mercy of Vyasadeva. Before that, there was no books. So the great sage would speak to his disciples. The disciples who would emulate, assimilate, and then they would speak. So anyone who would be very much assimilated, one who has assimilated the knowledge of Vedas, would be Vedas personified. The person who is Veda Parangat, who knew about Vedas, so he would be called as Vedas personified. Like sometimes we may say, you know, we find a devotee very humble, we call him humility personified. So Vedas personified are those devotees who have assimilated the knowledge of Vedas from their spiritual master. So therefore, in the previous yugas, there were living Vedas. Just like we have book Bhagavat and we have person Bhagavat. So personified Vedas are the person Vedas who can speak Vedas and give information of the Vedas. So this is one information which Prabhupada gives. One time, Prabhupada's disciple Jadurani Mataji, she wrote to Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, you have told me to draw pictures on the Krishna book. So I want to draw pictures on this personified Vedas, this chapter. Who are these personified Vedas? So Prabhupada says in one letter, they are perfect Vaishnavas. They may be shown with tilak and Vaishnava markings in this way. So she got one understanding of personified Vedas from Prabhupada. But she wanted some more. So after 15 days, she wrote another back letter. Can you describe more in detail of Vedas personified? So Prabhupada says, oh, personified Vedas are like great sages in appearance. And Prabhupada says, some of them may look like Vyasadeva. Some of them may look like Valmiki, like Narad Muni. Some of them may be older, some of them may be younger. Some of them may have full hair like Vyasadeva because they are householders. Some of them are shaven because they are brahmacharis. But they are all great souls, very highly elevated paramahansas. So Prabhupada says in the letter, so I am happy that you are including pictures for this personified Vedas chapter. And Prabhupada says, because this is a very important chapter, and if possible, it should be appropriately illustrated. So that, and Prabhupada says, so you are very able to choose out suitable subject matter for the pictures and then execute them carefully, and Krishna will be satisfied. So this is another explanation Prabhupada gives over Vedas personified, that they are like great sages, appearance is like great sages. Then another purpose of Prabhupada says, somewhere in third canto, he says, in Satya Loka, the inhabitants in Satya Loka, Brahma Loka, are fully cognizant of Vedic wisdom. And it is mentioned that, therefore, for them the mystic cloud of material energy does not exist. And therefore, such people are called Vedas personified. And Prabhupada says, these people do not have any interest in the material world. They are fully situated in full satisfaction of Krishna consciousness. However, these Vedas personified, great sages of Satya Loka, they come down to this realm of earth planet. They appear here so that they can preach and they can give Vedic literatures. So Prabhupada says that they come to this mundane world. Why they come? Even though they are desireless, they come to this mundane world they come to different planets as messiahs, and they come to deliver the fallen souls. So Srila Prabhupada gives another understanding of Vedas, verse 25. And then Prabhupada says, Brahmanas who have studied the Vedas thoroughly, assimilated the Vedas thoroughly, and when they speak Vedas. So therefore Brahmanas are also Vedas personified, Prabhupada said. Just like Srila Prabhupada, because of his erudite scholarship in the bhakti literature, he was called as Bhakti Vedanta, the title was given. One who can assimilate, one who can give the essence of bhakti from the Vedanta, Bhakti Vedanta. So Brahmanas, when they are Veda Parangat, they are also called as Vedas personified. So there are different understanding of Vedas personified. So this is Prabhupada's explanation of Vedas personified. Here we are referring to those Vedas personified which came from the breath of Lord Vishnu. So we'll discuss about them later. Now coming back to this verse, in this purport, it is mentioned that of all the verses which are mentioned in this section of prayers, this verse mentions about Krishna's personal form. So this whole chapter of the prayers, some prayers are describing Lord's impersonal form, some are describing Lord's personal form. But this particular verse is describing Krishna's personal form. And therefore it is mentioned that one should therefore hear the glories of Krishna's personal form, the topic of interest, his pastimes, his qualities, by which then the verse says that the material miseries, mala shapana, the material contamination gets eradicated. So in the purport and in the verse also in the translation, there are two types of personalities mentioned here. Who will take interest? Who are the people who will take interest in understanding Krishna's glories? Hear about Krishna. So it is mentioned by the Veda personified, those who are wise, those who are jnanavan, bahunam janmanamante jnanavan mam prapadyate. These people who have understood after many, many births, come to the conclusion. What is the conclusion? Vasudeva sarvamiti. That actually everything, the cause of all causes, the Supreme Personality Godhead, Lord Vasudeva. Such a person will take interest in hearing Krishna's glory. And what will happen by this? By hearing Krishna's glory, mala shapanam, what will happen? All the contamination which is there in their heart will be eradicated. Tapatrayon unmulanam. Tapatraya, the threefold miseries, unmulanam, from the root it will be eradicated. So this is the mention of those people who have come to the conclusion that Krishna is the ultimate, the wise, the jnanis. The second categories are those who are already pure devotees. Those who are already pure devotees, for them also the subject matter of hearing is important. And therefore they would love to hear more and more about Krishna, because no one is satiated by hearing about Krishna. So therefore those who are on the path of Krishna consciousness, for them the subject of hearing is important. And those who are already fixed on the path of Krishna consciousness, for them also subject matter is relevant. So this is in short, in brief, what is mentioned in the purport. And then in the remaining part of the purport, there are quotations, there are analogies mentioned from all other Vedic Upanishads, Puranas and Vedas about how by hearing about Krishna, hearing the glories of devotional service, one can eradicate all sinful reactions. So there is something about this purport. Now, interestingly, we find that while we are going through this chapter, a lot of Siddhanta is coming. Siddhanta means philosophy. Generally, philosophy is very difficult to absorb. Katha is very easy. But Siddhanta is very difficult. However, you find here that Siddhanta is not something which is very rarely discussed. It is often discussed. Like in this chapter, we find that the same discussion is been done at different times by different group of people. Like Parikshit Maharaj is asking question to Shukdev Goswami. And then he narrates that how Narad Muni asked the same question to Naranarayan Rishi. And Naranarayan Rishi mentions that the same question was asked by the residents of Janaloka to the four Kumara, especially Sanandan. And then Sanandan, he mentioned the reference of how the prayers, how the personified Vedas, they prayed. So we find that the same Siddhanta is often been discussed between great devotees also. Therefore, Siddhanta also plays a very vital role in our life. And here it is mentioned, the Vedas personified, they have come from the breathing of Lord Vishnu. And what is Lord Vishnu doing here? Lord Vishnu is in slumber, sleeping. So Lord Vishnu is sleeping and now he has to wake up. So how he will wake up? There has to be an alarm clock. Just like when we sleep, we have an alarm clock to wake up. Am I right? So the alarm clock for the Lord is, Lord creates the alarm clock. From his breathing, those alarm clocks are the personified Vedas come and they pray. So when the Lord has to be woken up, he wakes up by a unique alarm clock, special prayers. Like in the morning when you wake up, deity is here, you know. We find devotees ringing the bell and uttishto, uttishto. Even Tirupati, if you go, the Suprabhatam is played, Lord is woken up. So when Lord is woken up, he is woken up with a lot of music and a lot of beautiful shloka, uttama shloka. So Lord requires a special alarm clock. Of course, Lord does not require anything. But Lord creates that and makes a pastime out of it. I remember, like, for example, we use alarm clocks regularly for waking up. I remember many years back, you know, when those alarm clocks, very small alarm clocks, that time hardly snooze also was there, you know, just had a press. And that time, some devotee, he made an alarm clock, very beautiful alarm clock. And the alarm would ring with a Hare Krishna tune, melodious tune, you know. So Mataji would sing Hare, very melodiously she would sing that tune. So I remember when the alarm clock came, and came first time someone had in temple here, you know. And Radha Gopinath Prabhu was there, so when the alarm clock was shown to him, and he pressed the button, you know. And beautifully that tune came, you know. So he mentioned, this alarm clock looks like a lullaby, you know. Instead of waking up, people will sleep more, you know. So there's a unique alarm clock. So when we have alarm clocks of prayers, we may sleep. That is the problem. Like when we are discussing prayers of personified Vedas, after hearing, Krishna has woken up. But during this class, many will sleep. So that is the difference between the conditioned nature and the nature of devotees who are fully perfect. So here is a special alarm clock which Krishna has designed by which he wakes up. So personified Vedas are praying. And how many personified Vedas are also mentioned? There are 28 personalities here who are praying. I just counted. The verses begin from verse 14 till 41st. And then I counted exact 28 verses. That means each Veda personified, one of them each is praying to Lord Vishnu. And after 41st verse, the section is over and something else starts. So the 28 Shrutis, Vedas personified, each praying in a unique way differently. So each of the prayer may not be kind of very aligned because each is a different devotee. Sorry. So here, this prayer is a personal prayer, glorifying Krishna's form and Krishna's glories. Now coming back to the word Siddhanta, it is very important to know how Siddhanta is important in our Krishna consciousness, philosophy. Why? Because we see this chapter has begun. Now we are reading Krishna book, the whole Krishna's beautiful pastimes, Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka. And suddenly in the beginning of this chapter, Parikshit Maharaj is asking a philosophical question. Now all that Leela which is happening, such wonderful Leelas, suddenly the question has drifted to some other particular realm, other era. We are now out of Vrindavan, out of Dwarka, we are now into beginning of creation where prayers of personified Vedas are happening. So if Parikshit Maharaj, who now, when the 10th canto is about to get over, days are very less for him, he could have continued asking something on Krishna Leela, Vrindavan pastime, some katha. So much philosophy has already happened from 1st to 9th cantos. But he is asking another question on philosophy. This shows that Parikshit Maharaj is showing that how Siddhanta is very important. And what is the question of Parikshit Maharaj? Very wonderful question. He is asking a very superb question. He is saying, O Sukadeva Goswami, how can I understand that from material sound we can understand Supreme Lord who is transcendental? Now it's a very brilliant question. You know why? Because if you all know from the basics of the Bhagavad Gita, from the Gita course, Journey of Self-Discovery course, we have been learning that there are three ways of gaining knowledge. Pratyaksha Praman, Anuman Praman and Shabda Praman. And we always say that Pratyaksha Praman, Anuman Praman, we cannot understand Krishna. But Shabda Praman, we can understand God. But Parikshit Maharaj is questioning Shabda Praman here. He is saying, how can you understand God through Shabda Praman? Because ultimately Shabda is also material. Parikshit Maharaj is saying, the Shabda is what? An alphabet. From A to Z, from K to whatever it is. Adhokshaja. Lord is beyond the alphabets. So how can words which are part of alphabets, spoken by a material tongue, heard from material ear, can make us understand Supreme Lord who is beyond material world? So his question is very, very amazing, that even Shabda Praman, how it can be spiritual? And therefore, in the reply, it is mentioned, Sukadeva Goswami says that he doesn't just reply, he quotes that Parikshit Maharaj, brilliant question. This question was also asked by Narad Muni to the Narayan Rishi. And Janaloka residents also asked the same question to four Kumaras. And the philosophy is very simple. Our Acharya has mentioned, even though Shabda Praman, what is Shabda Praman? Shabda Praman is something spoken in the Bhagavatam. Now when they're spoken, the words are coming from matter, the mouth. It is going into the matter. It is coming out of the matter, into the matter. It's all matter. So how can from matter you understand spiritual? This book, Bhagavatam, itself is matter, is it not? Pages. Like for example, this Bhagavatam was published through the medium of BBT, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. But many books they published through some outside printers. Now the printer may have published some mundane magazine, some literature, some newspaper before Bhagavatam and after Bhagavatam, and in between Bhagavatam. The same pages, the same print is used, same binding glue is there. How then this book has become spiritual? So the understanding given by Acharyas is that even though this is material, but we should know that we cannot make matter into spirit, but Krishna can make. Krishna can make matter into spirit because for Krishna there is no matter. There is no difference between matter and spirit. Everything is spirit. So when Krishna decides to bless all conditioned souls, he makes even matter spirit. Even that which is perceivable a matter becomes a substance by which we can perceive the non-perceivable. Like for example, we have deities in our house, in our temple. It is made of marble, it is made of stone, granite, metal, etc. Okay, now we can easily perceive a stone, a granite, a marble, a stone. But when Krishna appears in that marble, in that stone, in that metal, it is no more a marble. It is Supreme Personality of Godhead reciprocating with His devotees. So Krishna can convert matter into spirit when Krishna blesses that matter. Similarly, this book, it contains Krishna's instruction. So this book, even though matter, has become spiritual and worshipable. It is not just a book, it is Grantha. One time Srila Prabhupada was in New York. And one New York Times reporter came and to meet Srila Prabhupada. And devotees introduced, Prabhupada, this is a reporter from New York Times. Prabhupada picked up the Bhagavatam and asked the reporter, you publish newspaper every day. Today everyone reads, tomorrow it is in Raddi. It goes in the garbage. And Prabhupada picked up the book. This book has been read for minimum 5,000 years. Why? I mean, reporter is supposed to ask question to Prabhupada. Prabhupada asked question to reporter. So what can reporter say? Prabhupada said, because these books are not ordinary. These are transcendental subject matter. What you are printing is material, but what we are printing is transcendental subject matter relevant for all ages. The same book, but because Krishna has blessed, therefore this book has become spiritual. So that is one understanding acharyas give. The another understanding acharyas give is that Lord feels compassion. Lord sees there are so many conditioned souls in this material world rotting, in the material miseries, in material trying to enjoy. So Krishna, with his shakti, he changes. What he does is, he changes one form to another form, so that a materially afflicted conditioned soul can access in his own domain of material world a spiritual thing. So these are different explanations which our acharyas have given. Prabhupada also has given a brilliant explanation about this. Prabhupada quotes this beautiful verse, Jita Ajitopi Asya. He says, this verse is, Jnani Prayasa Mudapasya Namanti Eva. So Prabhupada said, Ajita Jitopi Asya. Prabhupada says that Krishna is, one name of Krishna is Ajita. Ajita. One who cannot be conquered. But this verse says, Ajita Jitopi. That person who is unconquerable, Ajita, becomes conquered, Jita. How? Jnani Prayasam, not by mental speculation. Prabhupada says, every year people print millions of books, authors write so many books, and after 6 months no one reads them. But Prabhupada says, by this mental factory one cannot understand or fathom this creation, the Supreme Creator. Jnani Prayasam. However, if one wants to conquer Krishna, who is unconquerable, or one wants to conceive Krishna who is inconceivable, one wants to perceive Krishna who is imperceivable, that Krishna can be understood by sthane sthita. Prabhupada calls sthane sthita as situated in one's own social position. And then what? In that social position, namanti eva, submissively. So Prabhupada said one should be submissive. Submissive and down to earth and understand that my senses are material, I cannot understand Krishna. When he submissive, namanti eva, and then he picks up Bhagavatam and san mukharitam bhavadiya vartha. Then he starts hearing from devotees. Then unconquerable becomes conquered. So that is the understanding which Parikshit Maharaj's question, from that question we get, that Krishna is unconquerable. But yet the same Krishna becomes conquered even through apparently material means when Krishna's blessings are involved, devotees' blessings are involved. So through the medium of great sages, great devotees, when we hear Shastra, then we emulate the conclusions of the Vedas, which is very difficult. Vedantic conclusion is very difficult to understand. So this is something about the Siddhanta. Now one amazing understanding of Siddhanta is that like one time one devotee went to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and asked him a question. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada, when I read these books of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, I see that he was referring to one particular pastime of Lord Balaram performing Ras Leela in Vrindavan. So he mentioned, he asked this question to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that Rupa Goswami, he gives a different explanation. Sanatan Goswami gives another explanation to the same Leela. And then he asked, but Guru Maharaj, both of them are disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only gave knowledge to them. Then how can one write book differently, other person write book differently? How can we understand that these both are right? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that actually Krishna is inconceivable. We cannot conceive Krishna. However, Krishna agrees to be conceived and then he reveals himself to his pure devotees. But because Krishna is Vibhu, he is great, he can have many angles. So he reveals one angle to his one devotee, another angle to another devotee, and then they write. And then Bhaktisiddhanta told his disciple, for us, when we read two different understanding, what we have to do is harmonize. Why? Because our philosophy is achintya bheda abheda tattva. Achintya is inconceivable. Bheda and abheda, simultaneously one and different. The conclusions of two different acharyas are one and yet different. Some devotees may say, well, Prabhuji, I cannot even harmonize that. So for those who cannot harmonize, don't harmonize. What is the meaning of don't harmonize? Don't read too many scriptures. Kimanya Shastra Vistare, only one is enough. Srimad Bhagavatam Bhaktivedanta purports. Prabhupada said, everything is even in my purports. Whatever you require, go back to where it is there. So if one cannot harmonize, stick to one acharya and read his purport, assimilate, that will take millions of lifetimes and then understand Krishna. So that is understanding given. If you cannot harmonize, stick to one. But the problem is, in the conditioned life, we want to hear and read everything or we don't want to read anything. We are always like pendulum from one end to the other end. So one end is we take all books, read everything, and get confused, bewildered, so many doubts. On the other hand, we may say, we don't want to read, so we use philosophical statements like, oh, Kali Yuga means what? Chanting, seva karo, jap karo, siddhant kya karna hai? But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraguru warns devotees that actually it is not like that. One has to balance. Because if we don't understand siddhanta, we will become lazy. Bhakti Siddhanta says that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Siddhanta Baliya, Chitta na kore alas. When Siddhanta comes, one should not be lazy in reading Siddhanta. One may say that I will do sadhana and everything will come. But Bhakti Siddhanta says, by reading sadhana, by reading Siddhanta, your sadhana will become better. You will go on in your sadhana for a long time. You will progress in sadhana by Siddhanta. Siddhanta will give substance to sadhana. Therefore, Siddhanta is very important. And therefore, a devotee should not be lazy for when Siddhanta comes. So you find Bhagavatam, great personalities who are close to Krishna, close to Lord Vishnu, but offering prayers which are full of Siddhanta. So Bhagavatam is mixed of Katha and Siddhanta. So when you read Katha and Siddhanta, what happens? We'll get knowledge of Krishna consciousness properly. It won't be such sentimental knowledge. It will be full Krishna consciousness. So this is something about Siddhanta. Coming back to the point of Vedas personified, the amazing point is, in this section of verses which we are reading, Vedas personified prayers, after Vedas personified offer the prayers, on the 41st verse of this chapter, from 42nd verse, the discussion changes, something else comes up. But our acharyas give an insight, and they mention that after offering these prayers, this Vedas personified asked for a benediction from Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu was very pleased. So Lord Vishnu asked, what do you want? And what is the benediction they asked? They said, Lord, if you feel that we have pleased you, is it possible that you can reveal your transcendental form, which Puranic scholars say it is full of bliss? Now, Lord Vishnu was himself there and is revealing his transcendental form. Why Vedas personified is asking that? They are asking for seeing Krishna's transcendental form. Because Lord Vishnu now understands the inner heart. The Vedas, they have understood, the Vedas personified, that there is the supreme abode of Lord in Vrindavan, in Goloka, where Supreme Personality of original Supreme Personality of Lord Krishna resides. So they want to see that form. So then what happens? Lord Vishnu opens a window for them. A window into the realm of Golok Vrindavan. And in that realm, this 28 Vedas personified, they see that there is beautiful Vrindavan forest, and there is Govardhan mountain. On Govardhan mountain there is waterfalls, there are beautiful caves. Next to Govardhan mountain, Yamuna is flowing, nectarian river water. And this Yamuna is having so many different colored lotus flowers. And next to Yamuna, standing Yamuna Tira Vanachari, is that Supreme Lord in a Shamsundar form, threefold bending form, playing upon his flute, wearing a beautiful Pitambara Vesh, which is dazzling like a thunderbolt and lightning, and is wearing a Gunjamala, decorated with forest flowers. This Krishna is playing his flute and is surrounded by his eternal associate, the gopis. So when this form is seen by the Vedas personified, they want another benediction. And then they ask, can we get another benediction? So Lord says, I am very much pleased with you because of your prayers. So we can see how, if, like for example, if someone wants to offer prayers to Krishna in the form of deity, it has to be very scientific. First, there has to be some glorification. And then there has to be a, what do you say, ek arji bolte na, recommendation or a requisition. We just do not go to a person and directly ask, I want this. We sometimes have to glorify or be grateful to that person, and then we ask for something. So they have glorified Krishna and glorified Lord Vishnu and his peace. So immediately Lord says, I am very pleased with you, ask what you want. So when this prayers of this Vedas personified, they saw the beautiful entourage of gopis, they also wanted to be one of the gopis in Vrindavan. And therefore they desired that we want to participate in your pastime as gopis. So the whole description comes now in Garga Samhita, wherein it is mentioned that Lord Vishnu says, yes, surely, but not now. Next Brahmaji's lifetime, in Saraswat Kalpa, in this particular Manu, when I appear only once, in one day of Brahma, that time you will appear in Vrindavan as gopis. So Acharya's commentary, even Vedas personified had to continue their sadhana. So the idea is given that sadhana is not just for neophytes. Even in the stage of great souls, sadhana is important. Sadhana has to be continued. Sadhana is not something which is just like new devotees have to chant and read afterwards. No. Afterwards, sadhana becomes more qualitatively important and good. So Vedas personified had to go for so long sadhana and then get a chance in the next lifetime of Brahma. So what happened in the next lifetime of Brahma? So that is mentioned in Garga Samhita. The next lifetime of Brahma, they got a chance to be born in Vrindavan Dham, in the womb of a gopi, a cowherd lady. And by birth in the womb of a cowherd lady and later associating with a gopi, they got more purified. And then as they grew up, they became ready. So when they ask for a blessing from Lord Mahavishnu, they also ask, we want to be a gopi and participate in your Rasa Leela dance. So what happened now here in this case, our Acharya has mentioned that there are different types of gopis in Vrindavan. There are Nitya Siddha gopis, one who have come directly from Krishna Loka with Krishna. And then there are Sadhana Siddha gopis. Among Sadhana Siddha gopis, there are gopis who have come from all different eras where Lord Vishnu, Lord Ram, Lord Naranaran, Rishi had promised them. And they all came down here and Lord Krishna was reciprocating with their desires. So one type of Sadhana Siddha gopi is the Munichari gopi. Who are the Munichari gopi? Munichari gopi are those who are Dandakaranya sages. Who, when they saw Lord Ram, they expressed conjugal desire. Lord Ram said, in this particular life, I have ekapatnivrat, only one wife. When I come again, I will fulfill your desire. And because they were worshipping Gopal, deity, Lord Krishna appeared as Gopal for them. So these are called Munichari gopis. And who are these Vedas personified? They are Shruti Chari Gopis. They became gopis who are Shruti Chari Gopis. So in this way, the Shruti Chari Gopis, when they wanted to have intimate pastime with Krishna, they could not approach Krishna. So they approached Vrindadevi. And Vrindadevi, understanding their heart, blessed them that soon Krishna will reciprocate. And Krishna understood in his heart that now Vrindadevi has blessed them, so therefore I have to reciprocate. And then Krishna comes and performs Rasleela pastime. So there's a beautiful pastime which comes in Garga Samhita of how these Vedas personified gopis, they got a doubt. Can you imagine Vedas personified getting a doubt? But in Krishna's pastime, even Vedas personified get a doubt. And what is the doubt? It is mentioned one day Krishna came in the dead of the night, almost when half the night was over. And this particular gopis were there, and Krishna wanted to reciprocate with their desire. So they are very happy, because they were actually waiting for Krishna for a long time. So when they were they happily received Krishna, and they also posed a question to Krishna, Krishna, why are you late? And Lord Krishna said, you do not know, I went to meet my Guru Maharaj, my spiritual master. So Gopi says, you are the spiritual master of the whole world. Who is your spiritual master? We are interested to know about that also. So I also have a spiritual master. My spiritual master's name is Durvasa Muni. Who is it? Oh, we have heard about Durvasa Muni. But where is he? Oh, he's in Vrindavan. Oh, is it? You went and served him and came here. So can we also go and serve him? Will he accept our service? Oh, no problem. You can go ahead. Where is he staying? Across the Yamuna, near Bandevan forest. So you can go there. So gopis are about to go, dead of the night, almost midnight has passed. And as they are going, Yamuna is full with water. There is no boatman to take them across. So gopis come back and they say, Krishna, how can we go? The Yamuna is full with water, flooded. So Krishna says, go to Yamuna, and you just say, Yamuna, that if Krishna is a celibate, is a brahmachari, then allow us to go, give way. So the gopis, they laugh inside, but they don't show it. And then they go to Yamuna, and they make this prayer to Yamuna. If Krishna is celibate, kindly allow way. And lo and behold, Yamuna gives way. And they're surprised. Now these gopis, they had a lot of eatables which they had made in big pots for Krishna. And Krishna said, carry them for Durvasa Muni. So they carried all that pots. So like 56 different items, chappan bhog, like that. So they went. And they reached the ashram of Durvasa Muni. He was there meditation. He saw the gopis. The gopis offered obeisances and said, you are also our Guru Maharaj, so we want to serve you. The one way which we can serve is we can offer you some prasad. So Durvasa Muni said, yes, but I am busy in meditation. I will open my mouth. You put prasad in my mouth. So Durvasa Muni just opened his mouth. And the gopis one by one came, put the pot, and they were dumping the whole pot in his mouth, and the whole food was disappearing. And the gopis were surprised. We thought he will take something and belch, but no. One pot got over, second pot got over, 56 items all got over. And Durvasa Muni said, thank you very much. And gopi said, thank you. We accepted our service. And then they came back again. But then same thing, Yamuna was again flooded. Yamuna was there, no way, the way had gone already. So they went back to Durvasa and said, when we came here, Krishna helped us, but now we have to go back. You help us. You are Krishna's guru, so you may also have some special mantras to tell us. So you go and tell Yamuna that if Durvasa Muni only drinks Durva grass juice, nothing else, then let Yamuna pave the way for us. So they were like smiling inside, but they could not, because then Durvasa Muni is very angry sage also, he may curse. So then they went to Yamuna and they said the same thing. And lo and behold, Yamuna parted. So they crossed Yamuna and they came back to Krishna. And then say Krishna, Vedas personified, saying, Krishna, we have a doubt. And Krishna said, what doubt do you have got? So they narrated the whole pastime and said, our doubt is, Krishna, how you can be a celibate brahmachari? Shraddha Gopinath ki jai. How you can be a celibate? Because we find that you're always in conjugal affairs with gopis. And how can this Durvasa Muni, who says that he can only drink Dhruva grass juice. In front of our eyes, he ate the whole 56 Chappan Bhog, all the pots empty. How to understand this? So Krishna said that Durvasa Muni, he only drinks Dhruva grass juice. But when you came, he was very happy with you. And then you said that you wanted to serve him. So just to reciprocate with you, he said, yes, I'll accept your service. And what was your service? The prasad. And he offered the prasad. And therefore he said, see how he was not doer, you know. He did not touch the prasad only. He just opened his mouth. And you were putting the prasad. And he was just satisfying you. As you kept on putting, kept on eating. When it got all over, he said, okay, thank you. So Durvasa Muni, he doesn't have a desire for eating anything. But he ate for you. He satisfied with Dhruva grass juice, but he was trying to satisfy you. Therefore, he ate but did not eat. And then Krishna said, similarly I am fully satisfied. I do not require anyone. But because you have desires of conjugal attraction to me, therefore I am satisfying your desires, and therefore I am with you, and yet I am not with you, and therefore yet I am with all of you, yet I am celibate. So this is the conclusion of scriptures which Krishna mentioned to Vedas personified. So we can see here that through this pastime, we have a beautiful connection of pastime as well as Siddhanta. So in today's particular class, we discussed about first, the process of hearing, which the Vedas personified speak here. How by hearing we can overcome all material contamination. Hearing is both for new devotees who have understood Krishna, or those who are already purified, those who are pure devotees. And we also spoke about Vedas personified, how they appear. And there are different, in the category are different types are there. Prabhupada mentions in different letters. Some are like sages, some are brahmanas, some are from Satyaloka. Then we also mentioned about Parikshit Maharaj asking question on Siddhanta in the end of 10th canto. And that how Bhaktisiddhanta Sarvabhu mentions that when Siddhanta cannot be understood, too many books, don't read them. Just read one book, few books, one Acharya. And don't take the other cause of not reading any Siddhanta, only Hare Krishna and Seva. Balance it out. And finally we saw that how after the prayers were offered, they asked for a benediction and Lord Vishnu reciprocated by giving them a chance to enter into the realm of Goloka Vrindavan. They became Shrutichari gopis, and we mentioned about the story of Durvasa Muni. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.